This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And we have liftoff here on a Thursday. Thank you for being here. Great to have everybody on board. And don't forget, tomorrow we're down in Florida, Jacksonville, getting you ready for the college football weekend. We have a lot to share with you this afternoon. How about the slate? Do we have some games Saturday or what? Woo! It's all SEC. Can you get any better than Kentucky and Tennessee and Georgia and Florida and all the other games that we just showed? Everybody's got to step up. Down in Jacksonville, that will be a big topic of conversation. So without Brock Bowers, that is, got some good names here that you hear. Oscar Delpalad, you hear all the other guys. What does Mike Bobo have dialed up? That is the question. How about Florida? Did we count them out too quickly? Billy Napier's got this team on a roll at the moment, and they are about to take on the number one team in the country. So anybody going to lose this weekend? Michigan's off. They've already lost. Georgia has the best shot at losing of all the top 10 games. Can we safely say this is not the best weekend nationally? Meanwhile, Brian Kelly on the lack of the headset communication, it's silly. Brian Kelly laying down some smack. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh didn't even know you could have a headset communication. He could have gotten away with that. And how about this? Did you see this tweet from Senator Raphael Warnock yesterday? That's Greg Sankey over there in the red and blue tie. You got Tony Petitti. His back is to us for those watching. And a lot happening on the Hill, as usual. We go to the Hill and bring in Ross Dellinger from Yahoo. Ross, great to have you on. So a lot happening on Capitol Hill, and I want to get to another piece of that in a minute, but what can you tell us about the commissioners on Capitol Hill yesterday?
Yeah, they Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey went together on the Hill to meet with, I believe, several Congress lawmakers, senators. I think we saw they I think they met with both Georgia senators. I believe they met with Senator Ted Cruz as well, and a couple of other really prominent members of the Senate Commerce Committee, Paul, which that committee is the one that will steer legislation. You know, I believe they met with Maria Cantwell, who's the chair of that committee, and maybe even Cory Booker, who is not on that committee but has been very involved with NIL and college athlete legislation.
And what's interesting, and Ross, I know you saw this firsthand, but a couple of weeks ago, Greg Sankey, I think I saw your picture, was up in the Kyle Field press box, also talking then to Senator Ted Cruz, big sports fan. He went to a lot of the baseball games between the Astros and the Rangers. And how critical is Ted Cruz to all this?
Yeah, he is. He is quite quite important. And I'll kind of explain a little why. It gets a little complicated. But the Senate Commerce Committee is the one that will kind of steer, like I said, any legislation, right? And they will – it either gets brought up in Senate Commerce or it doesn't. And that's the start of a bill getting to the floor is through Senate Commerce. And Senator Cruz is the ranking member, which is like basically the top minority member, the top Republican in this case, in this Senate. And then Maria Cantwell is the chair, the top Democrat, top majority member. And those two, right, Cantwell and Cruz, are very important in combining efforts to come to a compromise for a bill, right, that will get through committee, get the needed votes through committee, and then we'll get potentially the needed votes on the floor. So they've been working together. I think Senator Cruz and Cantwell have meet every, I think it's every 2 or 3 weeks. They have lunch together. They meet. They have certainly talked quite a bit about NIL. I think Senator Cantwell is probably, as she has done in the past, I think commissions other Democratic senators to work with the other side on this, because while she, I think, is knowledgeable about the issue, people like Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal on the Democratic side have been probably a longer term, have been invested in the issue. And so I think they're discussing things and trying to reach a compromise. You know, it's all about reaching a compromise, Paul, on something here, and it's been 4 years, obviously, of college leaders, you know, encouraging some kind of college athletic bill, and we haven't seen it yet come through fruition, and it's because of the lack of a compromise.
Ross Ellinger with us. Ross, I want to ask you about another thing that happened yesterday on Capitol Hill. Mike Johnson from Shreveport, LSU undergraduate, law school graduate, becomes the speaker of the House. So what do we know about him, not so much from a political standpoint, but about a college sports fandom standpoint, and could he be a key player as we move forward with NIL, considering that the man second in line to the presidency, as you point out here, has pretty deep ties in the SEC?
Yeah, he does. Hey, Paul, these are questions for my wife, my political reporter of a wife. She covered Mike Johnson when she was a state legislative reporter back in Louisiana. He for a couple years before he joined Congress, he was a state lawmaker, and so she's got a relationship with him and ties to him. So she knows a lot better. But she's told me some things, and certainly, you know, he's an LSU graduate. I believe he went to law school too.
Yes.
At LSU, and so he's pretty entrenched there in Tiger Country, and certainly if you're LSU and if you're the SEC, right, you're probably pretty happy about the situation right now when it comes to the leadership in the House. You have Speaker of the House, who's an LSU, big LSU fan and grad, you know, and then the Majority Leader, obviously Steve Scalise, who has been involved a little more lately, especially in the college athletic bill NIL situation. You know, back in June, Steve Scalise hosted Nick Saban and Brian Kelly and their athletic directors in his office to actually discuss things. So it's certainly a good, you know, if you're the SEC and if you're LSU, you probably feel pretty good about having those lawmakers in powerful positions there in the House.
Yeah, and it's also worth pointing out Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, big Louisville guy, but still cognizant of the importance of the SEC and the Commonwealth. Let me get to the other big story of the week, just your thoughts from where you are on the Jim Harbaugh situation. There's now a report out that the NCAA has sent its enforcement staff to campus, whatever that means. I have no earthly idea. But you understand the nuances of the NCAA and how they work and how slowly they work. And I'm just curious your view of this whole situation.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You know, we knew, obviously, when we first reported last week, broke the story about this. We knew that at some point, right, the NCAA, if they hadn't already been there, they were going to be get on campus. That's what happens, right, with an NCAA investigation. They do arrive at some point. And so we knew this would happen. You know, I thought more interesting, one of the more interesting stories to come out of this whole saga, there seems to be a little, you know, trickling every day of something new, was the Washington Post story yesterday that revealed maybe how the NCAA found out or started this investigation, that it was through a outside investigative firm that tipped off the NCAA, and this firm produced documents obtained from the computers electronically obtained in some way from the UM staff, from their computers and the computers they had access to. So that you know, we're starting to get answers to some questions. Of course, some of these answers, like that one, right, leaves you asking more questions, like who hired this firm and when did they start the investigation? Why? There's a lot of questions, more questions than answers. But we kind of knew, yeah, it was obvious at some point, right, the NCAA was going to be on the ground there in Ann Arbor, and it appears that has happened. I'm going to guess that it had probably, it didn't just happen today. I'm going to guess that they've been on the ground there.
Ross Dellinger, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, Ross from Yahoo. We'll take a short break. Much more to come here on this Thursday afternoon. Your phone calls and more guests around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. We appreciate all of you being here. Let's get to some phone calls. And Dr. Bulldog is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
how
Bulldog,
you doing, brother?
What's up?
This is Gator Week, man. And it's nothing like being a Georgia Bulldog fan during Gator Week because you want to run your asses into the ground. And it's a long time coming for me because I go back to the late 70s, early 80s when Florida had Charlie Pell and Wayne Peace at quarterback and Chris Collinsworth, and Georgia had Herschel Walker, of course, Buck Ballou, Lindsey Scott, Amp Arnold. I can name the whole team. Wayne Radloff at center, number 55. Matt Hudson at right guard, number 65. So my hate runs deep for Florida. They don't like us, and we don't like them. I hope we rout them. Kirby Smart coming off a bye week, and he's got some things dialed up with some players that are former five-star and four-star recruits. You know, this hate thing, good old-fashioned Southern hate, if you will, Paul, was punctuated by Steve Spurrier. He went like 18-2 or 17-3 against Georgia. We played him one time in Athens because they was refurbishing the old Arktel Stadium at the time, they call it, and he put up 50 points on our asses, and he said it wasn't enough. So you know that Steve Spurrier, you know, how I think about him. Great coach now, Hall of Famer, but this hate with me runs deep, man. I'll never forget that. We had Eric Zier, I think, at quarterback, and Florida put up 50 on us, man, and he said it wasn't enough. And he also clowned the mascot, you know. And it's one of those things where you don't get over nothing like that. I mentioned Wayne Peace and Charlie Pell, and I'm glad I'm a Georgia fan because this is a historic rivalry. Collinsworth's doing his thing now on NBC. God bless him. Years, decades removed from his playing career, but that is a big thing, man. People put down Georgia. We had a significant injury with our superstar player, Brock Bowers. People are starting to doubt us. We haven't been really impressive against some of the lesser teams. Even though we put up 51 on Kentucky, nobody cares about that. So going forward, this schedule's gotten ramped up, and it's one of those things where we're going to handle business, man. I'm on record. We're going to put up 48, and they're going to put up 17. 48,
hey, thank
17.
You very much. Appreciate your call. AC is up next.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, sir? Thank you very much for taking my call. Hey, man, I remember what you said last night. You said, after my call, AC is a bad caller. Didn't I address that? I don't care. I really don't care how you feel about me. So keep it up, Mr. Feinbaum. Can you say one more time, AC is a bad caller? Say that for me again.
I try not to be repetitive, AC, like you.
And if you want to, do it 24-7, bro. Here. I love it.
Well, AC, well, you're not a great caller. I think even you would admit that, wouldn't you?
Do I care?
Well, it doesn't matter whether you care or not. I'm just spitting out the truth. You're a severely challenged caller, AC.
My what?
I said you're a severely challenged caller.
Here.
You got to respond.
In Houston.
You got a response to that, AC, or are you just going to tuck your tail and go home?
Bro?
To...
Hey, bro.
Don't hey, bro, me. I mean, the guy didn't even have a response. I tried to toughen him up.
Yeah.
I gave him some hard love.
Got
he melted. He melted into the sun of Bangladesh. Stacy is up next.
Paul, I called you to talk about your last hour of the show, but then AC came on and just, oh, God, I'm lost for words. But anyway, Paul, I'm going to beat you today, Paul, and you beat me. So,
okay.
Paul, you on the air. How can I help you? You on the air, Paul. What question you have for me?
Am I on?
You on, Paul.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Paul.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. You on the air?
Okay. Kind of forgot what I was going to ask you about. Roll Tide.
Well, let me tell you what I was going to say, Paul.
Okay.
The last hour of your show needs to be named the Paul Feinbaum Show, Last Hours for Idiots. That legend... Now, I like Legend. The only reason I don't get Legend no problem because he's an Alabama fan. But he's an idiot. AJ, certified idiot. I don't even know why you even take his call, Paul.
I don't either.
Man, he come on. Go ahead. What'd you say, Paul?
I said, I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't. I man, come on. You can't hear him talk. He. I don't know if he's trying to sound sexy or what, but I don't even know why he called. Then you got Jim. The only time Jim has come is when Alicia come on first. I don't know what's wrong with Jim, but y'all going to give Jim a heart attack, and you're going to be responsible for it, Paul.
I am not responsible for the health of those who participate in this show.
Well, you better get Dr. Linda on to help. At least you can do that, can't you?
She can definitely handle that.
All right, Paul. Talk to you.
Stacy, thank you. That was a great call. Thanks for calling. Wanda is up next.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Wanda, how are you?
Doing great. I've been watching your show forever.
Well, thank you.
And never got on. I'm super excited. I love you, and I love the way you stir up stuff with all these crazy people that hate Alabama.
Well, you picked the right place.
You know what? Alabama's a good team. All the SEC and Big Ten, 12 is competition this year. And all I can say is Alabama's got better since we picked Texas beat us. Defense is rolling right now. They're on fire. And our offense is getting better. We got a bye week this week. And I think we're going to do it next week if we come out representing the first snap of the quarter. I mean, the first quarter, we got to hang in there and keep on doing it for 60 minutes like Saban says. I love you. I see you smiling.
Well, thank you very much, Wanda. That is very kind of you. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's talk to Elliot in Ohio.
Paul, I got my weekly top three questions for the SEC. One, when will Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze play for the Golden Visor? Number two, is Arkansas now the new Nebraska of the SEC? And more importantly, number three, when is Coach Drink officially moving to Ann Arbor? Because you know it's happening, brother.
Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul? Long time no talk. Been just taking in the Tennessee football season past few weeks. And my opinion, Paul, is Nico needs to be out there. Do you think Nico will start this year? I mean,
it depends on what happens. I think Saturday night is the tipping point, because if Tennessee looks bad Saturday night, then I think Heupel is going to be forced to make a change.
But my guess is no.
I don't think they really want to start him right now.
Well, I was thinking maybe after Georgia, and I appreciate what Joe's done, and you know the bowl game last year against Clemson. But I mean, hell, it looks like anybody could beat Clemson now. So I don't know how special that really was. But I mean, I appreciate Joe, but I think Nico's the future. But I trust in Josh to make that decision. But I think it's time.
Thanks for the call. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good to be back. By the way, I did find a linear TV in North Hollywood, so I got to start watching football at 9 a.m. That was great. And, Paul, you're right about James Franklin. He still resides at the corner of good recruiting and poor coaching. And I think Alabama's on the rise, and Georgia needs to look out. So those were some interesting takes from the game. So, Paul, let's talk about John U. Bacon, the great interview, and also Sinegate. There are two major players involved. One is, of course, Connor Stallion. He's the analyst who is, by the way, his parents are alumni of University of Michigan. He's a graduate of the Naval Academy and a former Marine Corps officer. But, unfortunately, I think you touched on it yesterday, an overzealous fan. And then you got Jim Stapleton, who is a Michigan alumni and so-called booster, and the source of leaks, because he happens to be on the NCAA Infractions Committee. So that's where that's going. Jim Harbaugh has obviously criticized Michigan, NCAA in more than one opportunity, so he's a target, and it is what it is. But here's what I think is going to go down. I think the Michigan internal investigation will be completed rather quickly. Connor Stallions will resign or be terminated. I think at that point, Jim Harbaugh will get his big fat contract. I think the NCAA investigation will drag on for months or years because they don't have enough proof. I think Tom Mars will go after both the NCAA and Jim Stapleton for the salacious leaks to Woodward and Bernstein. I'm sorry, I meant Thamel and Slayball. I think Michigan will continue to choke the opposition. They might even play their starters in the fourth quarter. And keep in mind, they're well-coached, Paul. They average two penalties a game. They've had no turnovers in, I don't know, like six games. They're going to be a contender at the end. So that's the way I see it going down. Look out, NCAA and Jim Stapleton, for Tom Mars to come after them.
Appreciate the call, John. We're up against a break. We have much more to come. Your phone calls. We've already had Ross Dellinger on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Andy Staples joining us next hour. Griff will be here as well. How about this? South Carolina, Texas A&M starts the day off. Big game. State and Auburn. Who wants that one more? And then Vandy trying to get a win at Ole Miss. Paul in Kansas is up next.
Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, you there?
I'm here.
Jerry Springer?
I am Jerry Springer, yes.
My gosh, I'm pleasure to talk to you there, Jerry. Man, the callers you had on this.
I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody has accused me of being Jerry Springer.
Well, I'm not accusing you, but the callers.
But I have something that Jerry Springer doesn't have.
And what's that?
I'm still living.
Yeah, I thought maybe they brought the show back from the dead. But
Jerry died a couple of months ago, and I have. I told his family. I said I will carry the torch.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job, Paul. I love your show, and I think it's probably the best talk show as far as entertainment goes. But
well, I do too.
I called last week about LSU and Alabama. I'm going to come to that game on November 4th, and I was kind of sad yesterday when I heard, the day before, you said you may not be at that game because you've been to Alabama twice.
Yeah, I don't know. We just have to, it's not my decision, but my bosses will just have to look over the situation, and even though it will be the best game, it's just a matter of where we land.
Yeah, well, LSU-Alabama is usually the best game in the Southeast Conference every year. But, I called last week and I told you old Nick Saban was going to pull out the stops with his offense. And would you agree that maybe he's accomplishing that?
Well, I think what he's done is he's got a really good team. It's just a matter of having them play well together. And everybody talks about, well, this team doesn't have the kind of talent that it did last year. I saw a mock draft yesterday, and these things change. But Alabama currently on the ESPN mock draft has three of the first nine players. So there isn't just talent. There is enormous elite NFL first round talent on that team. It's just they don't have it at the critical position of quarterback.
Well, he's getting better every game. And I think the coaching staff there has figured out the precise plays to run that's benefiting Jalen. And last week they ran some stuff that they haven't been running all year.
No, you're right. I think the offensive play calling has gotten a lot more complimentary. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Phil is in Jacksonville.
Paul, let me give you an advance welcome to the bold new city of the South tomorrow.
Oh yeah, well, that is great to hear. So tell me about it.
Well, I tell you what, there's a vote coming up, city council. Depends on who gets paid and who doesn't get paid as to whether or not they're going to do a rebuild on this stadium. What everybody needs to realize is the first remodeling got done for $138 million, which was a steel job. This one is going to be closer to probably $1.2 to $1.5 billion, but Shad Khan is going to do half of it.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I've learned maybe over the last 20 years since I moved back here, is if you talk to Georgia fans, they love the game here. All of them, almost to a letter. I asked a bunch of them, would you like the game in Atlanta every other year? They said, no, we don't want to ever go to Atlanta. There's nowhere to tailgate. There's nowhere to party. Atlanta is the worst thing that could happen in Georgia, and a lot of them like to take a vacation in the Florida. I think the Florida fans, even when Spurrier was killing them and Urban Meyer was killing them, the Florida fans were bored by all of it. I think they still are.
Well, I'll be interested to see. I get wanting to get out of town. It's the end of October. The weather's turning cooler in most places. But I think the reality is that from a recruiting standpoint, it just doesn't suit anybody's needs anymore to have a game other than your own campus.
Let me ask you this, Paul. when ESPN and this big money comes into the Southeastern Conference, they're going to force a ninth game. Greg Stanky, as powerful as he is, and the coaches, with the television contracts coming, they're going to force a ninth game. What do you say?
Well, I agree with you completely. I know it didn't happen next year because things were just still in transition. But once we begin next season, everything changes. And I think we'll have nine games by 2025.
Let me ask you this. You have said, I think the game may go away here. I think there's a possibility that the Jaguars will not be here in 5 years. I'm old enough, I won't even be here, regardless of the vote. I think the city of Jacksonville, it's not so much voting for a new stadium for the Jaguars. It's voting on the future of this city. If they turn it down, you can take the Ville off of Jacksonville, Florida, and it'll become Jackson, Florida, Jackson, Mississippi, East. I think there is a distinct possibility that will happen. Paul, I hope to get down there tomorrow. If I don't, still love you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Phil. Always cool to go to Jacksonville. We'll talk to Griff later on about where this game should be as well. That guy pretty much insinuated that he was not going to live much longer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to do that. I will be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let us continue with more of your phone calls here. Will is in Columbia, Missouri.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right, Paul, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm calling about our 7-1 Missouri Tigers. I think we're going to beat Georgia, go into Athens, whoop up on them, and then we're going to make our way to Atlanta, win the SEC East, and hell, we might have a shot at the championship.
Okay. Anything else?
I mean, we have the best receiving corps in the entire country. Luther mm-hmm. Burden, he's better than anyone else. We don't even need Ryan Wingo, to be honest.
Okay.
Theo Weiss, I mean, he's going to be better. He's going to be better than Lovett in this showing because we're going to have Rakestraw out there. Rakestraw is going to be huge for the team. Huge for the team. What do you think about that?
Thank you for your call. Tommy is up next in New Hampshire. Hello, Tommy.
Hello, Paul. First-time caller. I just want to call and say that we're big college fans up here in the North Country. I wish we had an SEC team up here, but we don't. I enjoy your show every day on the way home when I get out of work at 3:30, and I just love listening to you, your knowledge of the game. You are one of the smartest people that I've ever heard on the radio or a talk show.
Thank you.
When it comes to football. I just wanted to let you know that, and the people that you have call in just cracked me up on the way home.
Well, that means a great deal to all of us here. Where in New Hampshire do you live?
Enfield, New Hampshire, right next to Dartmouth College.
Okay. I have a couple of friends that live up there, so I hear it's a beautiful place. Thank you very, very much. Michael is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Michael.
I know that ain't here in 2 weeks.
Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Good. You're on the air.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We're doing great.
Hey. Mr. Funnelbaum, I hate to be the caller. It does just...
have to correct you on something. But yesterday I was listening to your show, and I heard that you say that Jimbo Fisher can't be fired for cause. Correct?
Well, we were talking about why the university would or would not have to pay him. I said, you know, if they fired him for a losing record, that would not be for cause.
Well, I figured it was cause he can't win and can't coach.
Well, that's the problem with that, I think a court would rule, Michael, is that the university not only hired him once, but they gave him an extension.
Oh, well, I think that would be a great cause to fire somebody that continues to disappoint his fans.
Well, I want you to continue with your legal studies, and when you get out of law school, give us a call back. How about Wyatt in Mississippi? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I wanted to get your take on a couple things. You know, there seems to not be as big of a buzz about the Ole Miss Rebels as deserved, and I was wondering what you think the implications are if the Rebels win out the rest of the season and happen to beat Georgia.
Well, I don't think there would be any implications other than that Ole Miss would go to the playoffs. That would be an amazing run. They would be 12-1. Would have beaten in the but I mean, here's the problem, though. They still have to get to Atlanta, and the only way they can get to Atlanta is if Alabama loses. Alabama needs to lose, first of all.
So with that, do you think there's a chance of maybe a possible backdoor with that, where Ole Miss gets the old Ohio State treatment? Whenever they don't make it to Atlanta, maybe they beat Georgia, and then Alabama comes into Atlanta and beats Georgia. Do you think there's any backdoor possibility?
I think it would be extremely difficult, considering how cluttered everything is right now. And what I think would hurt Ole Miss too is they, you know, their best, you know, what are their best wins? It would obviously be, let me back up for a second, because you know they would, you know, by beating Georgia in Athens, then they start to discount Georgia overall, where the next, assuming they saw Georgia again, I think Ole Miss has a very narrow path without Alabama stumbling along the way. Thank you very much for the call. Tina is up next. Hello, Tina.
Hey, Paul, long time no talk.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing?
We are doing great.
Okay, so I got a suggestion. We need to change the name of your show to The Three Stooges. We got I-Man as Curly. We got AC in Bangladesh as Larry. And we got AJ in Pell City as Mo.
Well, those are certainly the Three Stooges.
Yes. So how about that? And I want to say, Roll Tide.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I don't know if some of you may remember, a couple weeks ago, our friend Larry got into it. I don't know exactly the genesis of this, but he started arguing with one of our people, one of our key people that work on the program, Keith, who is often behind the camera. And I mentioned that Keith was a professional wrestler. And we wanted to honor Keith today. This is his last program. You may see every year. What is it? In August that
we
have
August, we have the Battle Royal.
We have the Battle Royal, and Keith is the producer of that video. Yes, he's and the thing is that did Larry run you off?
No, come on, Larry. Come on, Larry. I'm still available. I'm still wrestling. Come on, Larry. Where you at? Where you at, Larry? Where you at? Come on.
Keith has worked at ESPN for 15 years, and this is it. You won Employee of the Month. What do you get? What do you get for that?
A nice trip out the door. No, but seriously, I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful for working on the show with you, with Randy back there, with everybody here at the Charlotte office, also in Bristol. So, thank you guys. Thanks to all the calls out there that actually, you know, enjoyed the Battle Royals. Until next time.
Well, Keith, on behalf of everyone here, the entire staff, which is primarily Randy, thank you very much, man.
All right.
What a pleasure.
You. Thank you, Paul.
The one and only K-Mac saying goodbye. And Larry hasn't called in a while either, so I just have to wonder if Keith didn't run Larry off.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.